We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, Verse 22. What Prahlad learned in the womb. Astav prakritya proktas, astav prakritya proktas, taya eva hita kuraha, vikara sarsa charyai,
vikara sarsa charyai,
pumanika samanyavat,
pumanika samanyavat.
Chant. Ladies. Prakritaya, material energies. Prokta, it is said. Chaya, three. Eva, certainly. He, indeed. Tat gunaha, the modes of material energy. Vikaraha, transformations. Sharsha, 16.
Acharyai,
by the authorities.
Puman,
the living entity.
Eka,
one.
Samanvaya,
from conjunction. Translation. The Lord's eight separated material energies, the three modes of material nature, and the 16 transformations, the 11 senses and 5 gross material elements like earth and water. Within all these, the one spiritual soul exists as the observer. Therefore, all the great acharyas have concluded that the individual soul is conditioned by these material elements. So this is a very long purport, so I'll try and after every paragraph, I'll try to summarize what it's about. It's very technical, but the essence is about how we are one soul, but we're covered with so many things. Here's eight, three, and 16 things that we're covered by, which makes up this gross and subtle body. So it's a very scientific analysis going on here, and it is a long purport, so I will try to do it, give a little summary after each paragraph. As explained in the previous verse, kshetresha deheshya tatatma yogaya atyatma yad brahma gatim labheta, a spiritually advanced person can understand how the spiritual particle exists within the body. Thus, by cultivating spiritual knowledge, he can attain perfection in spiritual life. The intelligent person who is expert in finding the self within the body must understand the eight external energies, which are listed in Bhagavad Gita. Bhumirapanala vayu kammano putirevacha hankara ityame bina prakatirashtada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these eight comprise my separated material energies. Bhumi, earth, includes all the objects of sense perception. Rupa, form, rasa, taste, gandha, smell, shabda, sound, and sparsha, touch. Within the earth are the fragrance of roses, the taste of sweet fruit, and whatever else we want. Stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, sarva kama dukha mahi, the earth, mahi, contains all our requirements. Thus the objects of sense perception are all present in Bhumi, or the earth. The gross material elements and subtle material elements, mind, intelligence, and ahankara, false ego, constitute the total material energy. So this paragraph is talking about the eight. We're covered by 8 things, and 5 of them are gross. Earth, this body with the bones and the blood, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And then we have inside another body that we're covered by, and that's the mind, intelligence, and false ego, a subtle body. So we've got now 8 things that we're covered by. So next is about the 3. Within the total material energy are 3 material modes or qualities. These qualities, sattvagun, rajagun, tamagun, goodness, passion, ignorance, belong not to the soul, but to the material energy. It is because of the interaction of these 3 material modes of nature that the 5 knowledge-gathering senses, the 5 working senses, and their control of the mind are manifested. Then according to these 3 modes, living entity gets the opportunity to perform different types of karma with different types of knowledge, thinking, feeling, and willing. Thus a bodily machine begins to work. So now we've got 3 modes of operation, goodness, passion, ignorance, and we've got another 11 senses and the mind, which is the chief of all the senses. And so there's 11 and 3. These things are also covering us, covering the soul. This has all been properly analyzed in Sankhya Yoga by the great Acharyas, especially by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna in his incarnation as Devahuti Putra Kapila. This is indicated here by the word Acharyai. We need not follow anyone who is not an authorized Acharya. Acharya Vampurisho Veda, one can understand the truth fully when he has taken shelter of an expert Acharya. So in this paragraph, we find out the source of all this counting. And the original source is Kapila, who is the Lord's incarnation. Now back to the soul and the body. Living entity is individual, but the body is a composition of many material elements. This is proved by the fact, as soon as the living entity quits this combination of material elements, it becomes a mere conglomeration of matter. The matter is qualitatively one, and the spiritual soul is qualitative, one with the Supreme. Supreme is one, individual soul is one, but the individual soul is the master of the individual combination of material energy, whereas the Supreme Lord is the controller of the total material energy. Living entity is the master of his particular body. According to his activities, he's subjected to different types of pains and pleasures. However, although the Supreme Person, Paramatma, is also one, he is present as an individual in all the different bodies. So here it's talking about the covering of matter. Inside, there's 2. There is the soul, who is us, individual, and there's the Supreme Soul, Paramatma. So 2 of us, like 2 birds in a tree, are inside this machine. The material energy is in fact divided into 24 elements. Now we've got another number here, 24, covering us. Can you imagine? So many things. The individual soul, the owner of the body, is 25th. So we are number 25. And above everything, Lord Vishnu, as Paramatma, the Supreme Controller, is 26. So there's 24 plus 1, the soul, and plus the super soul, Lord, 26. When one understands all these 26 subjects, he becomes a yapavit, expert in understanding distinctions between matter and spirit. Stated in Bhagavad Gita, kshetra-chetra-yoga-gyanam, understanding of the kshetra, the body, constitution of the body, and of the individual soul and super soul constitutes real jnana, or knowledge. Unless one ultimately understands the Supreme Lord is eternally related with the individual soul, one's knowledge is imperfect. This is confirmed Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam Jamanam Mante Gyanavanmam Prapatite Vasudeva Savamiti Samaha Pasadurlava. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Everything, material and spiritual, consists of various energies of Vasudeva, to whom the individual soul, spiritual part of the Supreme Lord, is subordinate. Upon understanding this perfect knowledge, one surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, Sarvam, Iti, Samahatma, Sudur, Labha. Mukam karoti vachalam, pangam langhete girim, yakipandamam vande, shivarum mutavinam. Om Jnana Tivarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshamiritam Yenata Samai Shri Gurave Namaha. So Prahlad Maharaj is explaining the knowledge he learned as an embryo in the womb. Can you imagine? An embryo at about 7 months can hear. Prahlad Maharaj is a very special embryo. He got transcendental spiritual knowledge and he still remembers it. Usually we don't remember what happened when we were in the womb, but he remembers this. He remembers this knowledge. Very complicated knowledge. So this verse is like a summary of so much knowledge. 24, 8, 3, 16, so many things are covering our soul. So I'd like to talk a little bit about how the soul is the observer. We're inside this machine, and actually everything's going on, but we're just the observer. In the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's so many chapters in the 11th canto called Uddhava Gita. And this is an expansion of Bhagavad Gita. So how many of you have heard of Bhagavad Gita? You have heard, most of you? Yes. But how many of you have heard of Uddhava Gita? Yeah, not so many. Okay, well, some of you. How many of you read it? One. Okay, and me too. So, Uddhava Gita is like an expansion of Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita talks about the soul and the body, and we will discuss a little bit about that, how there's no death, there's no birth for the soul, and he's no changing, nothing can cut the soul. But in Uddhava Gita, Lord Krishna explains that we have 24 gurus who can teach us about the difference between the body and the soul. And I'm going to talk about two of those gurus today. And one is the wind, and one is the sky. These two gurus. Earth is a guru, fire is a guru, water is a guru. But for this class today, wind and the sky are very, very relevant gurus for us to learn from how the soul and the body are different. So first of all, the wind is blowing everywhere. So a self-realized soul, he may live in various bodies. We know that we had another one before this one. And even in this life, we have so many bodies. We have a baby body, we have a young kid body, we have a youth body, we have a middle-aged body, and we have old-age body. We go through so many changes of body, even in this life. So the recommendation is that we should not be entangled, just like the wind. The wind carries different smells, but it's not entangled. So the wind may go over a garbage dump, and it picks up the horrible smell of the garbage, carries it for some time, then lets it go. And the wind goes over a beautiful rose garden, picks up the beautiful smell of the roses, the lotuses, carries it for some time, and then drops it. So in our life, we may go through some horrible, smelly times, which we don't appreciate, but we shouldn't hold on to it. We pick it up, let it go, let it go. And we may go through some very happy times. We may go through some happiness. Okay, we pick it up, let it go. In this way, if you act like the wind, you'll be happy. You won't be entangled. So this is what the guru, the wind, of course it teaches us other things. This is the one thing I'd like to actually talk about today. And the sky. The sky, we see, now today, now not so much, but this morning there was a bit of a wind. And last night there was lots of rain. But even though there's so much rain, so much wind, hurricane, so many things, the sky is not affected. It's like the observer. So in our lives, sometimes we have hurricanes going, sometimes we have heavy rain, thunder, lightning going in our life. But actually, we're just the observer. It's not really, we're not the body and we're not the mind. So we are the soul, we are a spiritual being. And we're not meant to be feeling happiness and distress of this body and this mind. We're way beyond that. We have a higher taste. So although the sky appears to be affected, it's not affected. It's still there. I mean, behind these dark, dark clouds is the sun and the sky. And so although our body and mind have so many changes, birth, death, happiness, distress, love, hate, We are just the background for such activities. The spirit soul is not affected. So this is teaching here that the soul and the body are different. The whole Uddhava Gita, most of it is talking about how the soul and the body are different, how matter is different from spirit. And at the end of that Uddhava Gita, Krishna says a very wonderful thing. If you can understand what's the difference between the soul and the body, and you take up spiritual life, the spiritual path, the path of love of God, then at the end, Krishna will give himself to you. You will have Krishna. This is the reward. This is the reward of using our senses, our ears, using this body in a spiritual way in connection with Krishna. So in the second chapter of Gita, it's especially talked about the soul and the body, that the body has six kinds of changes, birth, and then duration, and then we grow, we have some byproducts, children dwindle, and then Prabhupada says, vanishes into oblivion. Of course, we don't really vanish into oblivion. I mean, the body does, but we don't. We're always there. We're not going to vanish. This body will vanish into oblivion. So what's the problem of being in this body? We have four basic problems. Birth, jama mrityu jara vyadhi. Birth, death, old age, and disease. Now, most of you don't know the problem of birth because we don't remember it, but it's actually very painful. It's very painful. Very, very disturbing. And some don't survive it, actually. It's so painful. And then we have mrityu, we have death. And that we do have experience. I mean, not in this life, but we do remember from in our subtle body, the fear is there because we remember all the deaths we went through. And old age is a very interesting phenomenon, especially for devotees, because you forget that you're old a lot of times, and you do things that old people are not supposed to do, like run down the stairs. And then once you get to the bottom, everything hurts. You know, I'm 60. I'm over 60 now. Can't do these things anymore. Desire is still there. And that means the soul is the same. So because you don't feel old inside. You feel like, 20, 30 at the most. We don't feel old. Now, death is all around us, but we think it's not going to happen to me. That's what Yudhisthira, he said, it's the most wonderful thing that people are dying every day, but we think, well, not me. It won't happen to me. We will just live forever, hopefully. So do we ever think of what it would be like to die or to have already left our body? We see devotees leaving our bodies, but do we ever think, oh, it's going to be me one day? It's the last cremation I'll have to go to, and we won't have to worry about getting back to the temple after, because it will be us in that fire. We don't have to worry about ride back. Nature will already have provided our ride somewhere. Maybe to another country, maybe to, who knows, another planet, another universe. We'll get our ride, for sure, without worrying about it. So one devotee's mother, she had Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's is when you forget everything. And like every time she met her son, it was like she was meeting him for the first time. And so this is Alzheimer's. It's quite an interesting disease. So her last words to him were, "It was so nice to have met you." So can you imagine your own mother? I mean, you're supposed to know who you are, but, she completely forgot. And actually, this is a fact that, interesting how we meet in this life, then we separate, never to meet again in the same form. And we might have met our son, and he might have been, who knows, what he was in our last life, our mother, our father. And but we take this life as everything, and we think, yes, this is mine, this is mine. And so the soul is full of knowledge, but it's forgetful. There's a really beautiful analogy in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam about the rainy seasons. And now it's a bit of rain has come. If you see the moon at night, then you'll see the clouds covering the moon. But there's some light coming through. And the light is coming from the moon itself. And so the clouds, which are covering the moon, they also, you can see the clouds, they're also illuminated. So we're like the moon. And the body is like the clouds. So because we're inside, this body looks alive. All the light is coming from the soul. It's not coming from the body. It's not coming from the covering of the soul. It's coming from the soul itself. So, but because light, we are light, we are alive, then we make this body alive. It looks alive. It looks very alive. But when, at the time of death, when the soul leaves, it doesn't look alive anymore. It doesn't look alive. I remember when I was, before I was a devotee, I believed in the eternality of the soul, somehow. And I had a discussion with my father. And I said, so, you know, then at time of death, what's missing? What's gone to make the body dead? And he said, no, he couldn't answer, actually. But actually, it's the soul. The soul goes out. And then the body is dead. And so here, this talks about soul and super soul. So we have a good friend with us who is in our heart, and he's just sitting next, and he's watching what we're doing, and we're trying to taste, we're trying to enjoy, we're trying to do so many things. Two birds in the same tree. The tree of the body is compared to a tree, and there's two birds sitting inside there, and one's going after the fruits. And one is just watching, and he's just waiting for us to turn to him. One time, Srila Prabhupada, he was talking with some theosophists. These people, they speculate, it could be this, it could be that, but they don't really know what the truth is. So they asked Srila Prabhupada the question, why is there anything? Why is there anything in this world? Why are we here? Why is there these trees? Why is anything there? What's the purpose of anything? And Prabhupada said in one word. He said, ananda, pleasure, love, that is the purpose. That is the purpose of everything. We want some happiness. We want ananda. So we're searching for love, but we're searching for it in the wrong place, in these bodies. Because whatever we get from these bodies, it's temporary, it's going to leave us, and it's not going to satisfy us. We're going to be separated. So we have this conception that we're looking out at the world and we're thinking, this is for me. You know, I'm the center. And certainly all these things are meant for me to enjoy. But it's not how it is, and the universe doesn't work that way. It doesn't work according to our desires. There is a saying in the Jewish scriptures, Talmud. We don't see things as they are, we see things as we are. So there's a Sanskrit saying in our scripture, Atmanam Manyate Jagat. According to how we see, we perceive, that's how we see the world. Just like now we have all these beautiful trees here. So for a devotee, they think, oh, this is very nice. Flowers, fruits, we can give them to Krishna. If you get a person in the mode of goodness, they'll say, wow, this is a great place for meditation and yoga. Let me go to the forest and sit there and meditate. If you see a businessman, he'll look at the trees. He'll say, money, money. If I cut all these trees down and sell them, I can make lots of money. If you have young people, they'll think, my boyfriend, girlfriend, let's go in the forest and enjoy. Everybody has a different way of looking at the forest according to how they see life. So there's actually, according to the scriptures, there's five basic conceptions of life, of the soul who's covered by this body, covered by all these things. And we see, and there are different levels of seeing things. And they're progressive. Like, the first level is called anamaya. You see, food is everything. Food is the most important thing. You just have to eat. So if you see a newborn baby, this is the conception of the baby. Eating. Only eating. And even up until the age of 2 or 3, if they want to know what something is, they'll put it in their mouth. That's how they figure it out. Does it taste good? Is it edible? They'll take anything, you know, the cartel, the cell phone is a favorite of the now, you know, the new age babies, the mouse for the computer. But they know what to do with it too, you know, it doesn't take them long. Maybe one and a half, they figured out the tablet already. I know my granddaughter, she was 1 and a half when she figured out the tablet and all these things. And the phone, iPhone, that was 2 years old. But still, the mouth is the place at first to figure out, okay, is this something that is going to help me in my life? So that's the first level, anamaya. Second level is pranamaya. Okay, we have eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So life means good sex life, to protect yourself, have some shelter, and sleeping and eating. So this is the second level. And most of our modern civilization is based on this. You get money for these things. These are the necessities of life. This is called pranamaya, keeping your life together, somehow keeping body and soul together. And the third level is the mental life. Art, music, philosophy, thinking, feeling, and willing. So oftentimes this is also connected to the lower levels of the being, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. They make art of all these things, and music, very heavy, metal rock music and different heavy rock. And then the next level is called Vijnanamaya, and that means where you know you're not the body, that you are a spiritual being, and you try to act on that level, trying to find yourself, trying to be yourself, trying to uncover yourself, your real self, which is underneath all the coverings of this body and the subtle, gross body and subtle body. So that is, so what is the behavior of somebody who knows he's not this body? In beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna instructs Arjuna about how a person who believes in spiritual life, that, okay, the principle is you're not your body, so what's the behavior then if you're not the body? So he tells Arjuna one word, tolerate. You have to tolerate, because you're the soul, you're happy, you're Satchidananda, you're full of knowledge, you're full of bliss, but somehow you're stuck in this prison of the body. So you have to tolerate. And then the highest level is Anandamaya, where you connect the body, you connect the gross body, you connect the subtle body to the spiritual level, and that's Radha and Krishna. How to do that? You chant Hare Krishna, you chant the holy name, you eat prasadam, spiritual food, you come here, you hear about him, Krishna, you hear about the soul. And you can bring some offering, offer some fruit, flower, leaf, and water. He doesn't ask much. But you give your ears, you give your eyes, you give your nose, you give everything. You connect it in yoga. And the highest yoga is Bhakti Yoga, where you connect everything in love to Krishna. So that's what we're trying to do here. And this verse is a very basic but very scientific verse, where it analyzes so many things. So many things are covering us. 16, 11, 24, 3, 8. You're going to lose count. But actually, basically 24, we are 25, the super soul is 26. And it doesn't tell you what to do, but in the later verses it will come. And we will go into more detail on Devahuti Kapila's philosophy on the last day, on 26 when we give class, and the solution to the problem. What is the process of connecting the soul with the super soul, connecting the soul with the spiritual world, and finally getting out of this covering and getting a permanent spiritual body full of happiness and knowledge. So, we will stop here for today. I think it's enough for our brains to digest. Any questions you have, you can ask at this point. If you have any questions on this topic. It's simple, but it's hard to practice, hard to realize that you're not the body. Any questions? Yes?
So Krishna says tolerance. Mm-hmm. What is the method of tolerance? What do you do?
How do you tolerate? Well, it all begins, tolerance is something that starts with the mind, with the subtle body. Everything goes from subtle to gross. So it begins with the mind, and we have to, first we have to understand, okay, what is my purpose in life? And that is that if you have a goal, then you're going to tolerate to get to that goal. So suppose you're working outside. You're working very hard and you're thinking, okay, I'm gonna get money, and with this money I'm going to enjoy. So there's a purpose why you tolerate, why you go to work so hard, so 8 hours a day, and people there in the office give you trouble. you have to drive. Why do you tolerate it? Because you have something that you want to get from it. So why are we going to tolerate? Well, of course, the question is, what do we have to tolerate also? And the biggest thing is our own mind. That's our biggest enemy. Mind wants to take us so many directions, but we have to tolerate. No, I'm going to go in the spiritual direction. I'm going to go in the spiritual path. I'm going to go back to the spiritual world. So I'm going to tolerate, even though I know, you know, I would like to, you know, go to the movies, watch TV. I want to do all these things that I used to do before I was a devotee so much. But no, I'm going to tolerate that. Instead, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to read the books. I'm going to do some service. I'm going to go and have kirtan with my friends. So if you have a goal, then that'll help you to tolerate things that will be obstacles to your goal. Like that. Any other questions? Yes. I can't hear. You have to come here.
Just like we have a real and false ego.
Real and false ego.
Yeah, do we have a real and false mind and real and false intellect as well?
Good question. Question is, just like we have a real and false ego, do we have a real and false mind? And senses, I'll add senses. Yes, the answer is yes. Right now, this is our false senses, false mind, false ego. False ego means I am the enjoyer. This body is mine. It's meant for my enjoyment. These senses are meant for me to have pleasure. The real ego means I am servant of Krishna. These senses are meant to give him pleasure. This mind is meant to give him pleasure. And we do have a mind in the spiritual world. We have senses. We have a body, a form. And it's not like this body. It's eternal, full of bliss and full of knowledge. This body is temporary, full of misery and ignorance. So we can look forward to having our real body in the spiritual world when we uncover our soul, and it becomes uncovered and we develop our relationship with Krishna. We can look forward to that. It won't be like this one. And that's why we're not happy here, because we're not meant to die, we're not meant to get old. Nobody's over 16 years old in the spiritual world. Good news. 16 is a really good age. 16 is a good age to be. Perfect age. After 20, 25, you start thinking, oh, I wish I was 16 again. Yeah, so 16, you start asking people how old you are. When they're under 16, they'll say they're older than they are. They like to be older than they are. And once you get over 20, 25, when people say, oh, you look like 16, well, yes. Especially if you get 40, 50, oh, you look like 30. So it's very interesting. The hippie slogan was, don't trust anyone over 30. So if you go to the spiritual world, you'll find that's true. You know? There's nobody over 30. There's nobody over 16, basically. Everybody has that youthful, eternally. No old age, no disease. And that's why we're not happy here, because we have to suffer these things when we have this body. We have to suffer old age, disease, death. But in the spiritual world, it's not there. So we do have our spiritual senses, we have our spiritual mind, and it's connected with Krishna. And when we give him pleasure, we get happiness also, because we're connected with him, we're spiritually connected. Like the tree, he's the root and we're the leaves. So if you give water to the root, then the leaves are happy. If you just water the leaves, then they're not going to be happy. So here in this world, we're trying to water the leaves. We're not going to the root, and that's Krishna. Any other question? Yes.
You mentioned that tolerance, the wind was one of their gurus.
Yeah.
So can we learn tolerance the same way?
Yes.
Pick it up and let it go?
Pick it up and let it go. Okay, it's part of tolerance. Yeah. She was asking if a part of tolerance would be what we learn from the wind. You pick it up and let it go. I would say yes. Of course, other gurus teach us tolerance, and that's the tree, tolerant like the tree, the earth, the mountain, they're all very tolerant. The earth is the most tolerant. But yes, that's an aspect of tolerance, that we let it go, and that's more the mind, the mental tolerance. That you can tell your mind, yeah, it's coming, it will go. Just like His Holiness Vishnu Maharaj, Mahavishnu Maharaj, very old man. He was suffering in old age. He was getting one time he had a disease. Someone said, oh, you don't look so well. He said, yes, it comes, it will go. It has come, it will go. That was his answer to that disease. Yes, it's coming. And that's what the verse of tolerance says. Happiness and distress are like winter and summer. They come, winter comes, winter goes. Summer comes, summer goes. Seasons are changing. So we have seasons in our body. Now I'm in the dwindling part, in the winter, coming to the winter part of my body in old age. But you have your spring part when you're young. And you think everything's great, you know, and you're indestructible. We also felt that way. But you never feel like you're going to be old. But it does happen. It happens to everyone who has a long life. Of course, if you die young, you don't have to experience it. But, you know, generally speaking, you don't avoid, and you don't avoid death also. But yes, we do have to tolerate. Old age, we have to tolerate a lot. There's a lot to tolerate in old age. One of your senses can go at any minute. I lost my hearing in one ear. And you wake up in the morning, something may be missing. when you wake, like your eyesight or your... So who knows, you know? This is old age. We don't have a clue when we're young. Can't imagine what it's like. That's good. Yeah.
So that's like accepting being equipoised, but accepting what is nice and what's not so nice in our life. Again, being tolerant to be both good and bad.
To be neutral to that. Mind, that's the game of the mind is accepting, rejecting. But intelligence is meant to direct the mind in the right direction. No, don't take this. This will make you sick. This won't help you. So in yoga, we use our intelligence. And intelligence is coming from super soul. So we try to connect with Krishna as much as possible so we get more intelligence. Our intelligence is spiritual intelligence. There's material intelligence and there's spiritual. So we're trying to develop our spiritual intelligence, hearing these books. If we see through the scriptures, then our spiritual intelligence will develop. And we'll be able to know what to tolerate, what not to tolerate, what to accept, what to reject. Any other questions? Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you. Hare Krishna.